Welcome to Rim Objects Radio. This is Jim McKeith. Joining me today is Mark Hoffman, our chief architect, and Carlo Cook, our chief engineer. Thank you for joining us today, guys.
Anytime.
Our exciting news today is, of course, our new Cooper product that we're working on. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but since this is the first time we've had Carlo on the air, let's go ahead and introduce you, Carlo, and talk a little bit about what you do for Rim Objects and how long you've been with us.
I joined Rim Objects officially in 2005, and I've been working with Mark and back then Alessandro for a few years before that even.
And so what was really the first thing you did when you came with to Rim Objects?
Oh, Rim Objects SDK. I helped Mark with some stuff. So, you remember what it was, Mark?
I have no idea. I mean, anything that's like past 2008 or so, I have no idea. No, seriously, I mean, sounds likely probably SOAP stuff or something.
Yeah.
Before coming to Rim Objects, had written the Pascal script, is that right?
Yeah. And while I was at an internship at another company, I started working on the script engine for .NET. But pretty soon I realized that a script engine and a programming language aren't that far apart on .NET. So I started writing what became Chrome, or back then, Adrenochrome.
Called Adrenochrome, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a coded name back then. And we decided to go for Chrome when it was released.
So it's gone through a few code names, but now it's Oxygen, and it's the compiler behind Delphi Prism.
Yeah. Last August, I started on a partial rewrite of the compiler and the IDE coded completion. I wanted to make that one whole, so if I add something in the compiler, it works in the IDE right away. And when I started that, I separated the backends from each other. And at that point, I got the idea to maybe support Java. And we looked into that later in the year. And we actually got a Java compiler out of it.
So that's our new Cooper product is it's a backend on a different backend, essentially. Effectively, that allows it to compile instead of compiling to .NET, compiles to Java then, right?
Yeah.
Since it's a swapped out backend, it means it's actually compiling, we'll say, natively to Java. There's no intermediary steps where it goes to .NET.
No.
And then to Java.
It's all Java.
Okay.
It reads the Java class and jar files, and it generates jar files.
Okay. The resulting jar file that you build is require any runtimes or have any distinguishing characteristics from a jar file built with regular Java?
It doesn't have any required libraries. If you look very closely, you might be able to detect its Oxygen. You have some language features that Java doesn't support. But you have to look very, very carefully.
So how does that work? Since the JDK and the Java language are so closely tied, how can we have language features in Oxygen that aren't available in Java?
I'm not really sure if they did both at the same time, but you can use the Java bytecode for pretty much anything you want. It's a lot like the .NET bytecode, except for a few differences, like no unsigned types and no delegate types.
So what are some features that the Cooper compiler will bring to Java that aren't available already in Java?
With this compiler, we're bringing over a few features from the .NET side to Java. One of them is properties. .NET has them and Java doesn't really have them. And, well, we have the syntax supported, and using existing Java get and set methods, those will act like properties in the Cooper language.
What about some of the language features, like, for example, our colon operator in Oxygen? Will that be available in Cooper as well?
Yeah, that will work too.
So all the standard syntax that we're used to in Oxygen will show up in Cooper then?
Pretty much, yeah. The one thing we can't support is delegates.
Okay.
But it's a framework limitation.
Also, the link functionality, it's a language feature in .NET, but it won't work in Java. Why is that?
Link is actually a pretty large class library of things you can use against sequences, iterators, or enumerables. And the library itself is not available for Java. It's a Microsoft library. But that doesn't mean we can't introduce something like that that works with Cooper and Java itself.
So what are some of the features that will be new to Cooper that are not already available in Oxygen as far as language features go?
One of them is the inline interfaces, which allows you to define an interface implementation inside a metadata body. And the members of this inline interface will look like closures, like regular anonymous methods, and can use the variables of the method it's defined in. Another one is that if an interface from Java or defined by Cooper itself only has one method and no ancestor, you can assign any anonymous method or another method to it. So that way you can use an interface like it's a delegate.
So that kind of gets around the fact that we don't have delegates available in Java then.
Yeah.
The alternative.
Yeah, I guess the background is that Java basically uses interfaces instead of delegates. So you'd often have classes that define a specific interface with like 3 or 4 methods that you want to implement as event handlers. And rather than making you implement a separate class, Java, and now Ox and now Cooper too, has this syntax where you can just inline inside your method, you can say, okay, to this interface, I want to assign these 4 event handlers and be done with it right there, rather than having to create a separate class and hook that up and figure out how that class gets back to the main class and things like that. So as Carlos said, it's basically like anonymous methods, except they're going to be, if there's more than one in the interface, they're going to be grouped as an interface. You wouldn't assign them individually like you do in .NET. You would assign the whole group of delegates, of methods to the interface pointer, which is how Java libraries are structured.
So Java has a lot of, there's some reverse engineer decompilers for Java. What would happen if you took a Cooper-built jar file and ran it through the decompiler? Or what would you suspect would happen? Would it just generate Java code and no one would know the difference? Or
Most likely, if you use the colon operator, it will fail completely. But if you have some code that could be converted one-to-one to Java, it would work.
Okay, so as long as you're not using some of the cool features, then...
Well, I guess it's a little bit like Reflektor, right? So if you write code that where Reflektor understands the IL and knows what to do with it on C-sharp side or even on the Oxygen side or whatever you want to generate, then that's going to work. And if you're using code that generates IL that Reflektor doesn't understand, maybe because it's not used to it from C-sharp, then it might fail or it might give you weird results. And I would assume the same is true for any of the Java decompilers, if they're written based on what kind of JVM code am I going to see from a regular Java compiler, there might be certain cases of Java bytecode that we create that they're not expecting, and then those might either throw the decompiler off altogether, or they might just generate something weird or something that doesn't quite look right.
Now, I know that on the Java platform, there's like on .NET, you have .NET framework and you have Mono, the alternate framework. Is there, on the Java side, there's also different Java runtimes or Java virtual machines you can use. Are there any reason that Cooper should not work with those, or do you expect it should work with pretty much any other virtual machine that's out there?
Well, we already tried it against Android, and that works fine. I think there's one special for Blackberries. It should just work. I mean, we still have to try those things out. We're starting with this project almost now.
Yeah.
So we're a bit at the beginning of this, but there's no reason it shouldn't work now.
Okay, that's good. So there's no special runtimes or special requirements. That's good. That's good. So if they want to run it on their microwave and write code with the Cooper, they can do that, right?
Yeah.
I remember that's when Java first came out. Everybody's like, it's going to run microwaves. Does it run microwaves today? I don't know.
Probably.
But it was going to replace the PCs too, right?
Yes, it's going to replace PCs. Microsoft was going to fall over, and we're all going to run Java on the internet. So, what is Cooper written in?
Cooper is written in Prism in the Oxygen language, and it currently runs on .NET, but the code itself doesn't depend on the .NET framework or anything. We probably, with some work, could get it to run on Cooper itself.
So you could get it to bootstrap and be able to compile itself, so it would be a jar file, the compiler would be.
Huh? Yeah.
That would be interesting. So running on the .NET framework now, with Mono, it works on other platforms or is it Windows only?
Well, it works on Mono, on all Mono platforms pretty much.
Do you think there'd be value in porting it to Cooper itself so that it could be a jar file?
Well, for one thing, you could run it on your microwave then, right?
That's true. You could run it on your microwave. I think writing the code on the microwave touchpad would be kind of a slow process, but it's been done, I'm sure.
It's not going to be a priority or anything, but it's something I want to try eventually.
That's kind of the true test of a general-purpose language, if the language can compile its own compiler.
The new compiler rewrite I did is written in Oxygen.
Oh, that's right, because the original compiler, the original Oxygen compiler, when it was called Chrome, was written in C#, wasn't it?
Yeah, and only parts of the IDE were written in Prism, and now pretty much everything is written in Prism.
That's pretty cool. So then Cooper's written in Prism as well.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of end-to-end written in the language itself. So yeah, that makes sense, since the front-end compiler is the same, but then the different back-end compiler. Okay, that makes sense. We at the DS Conf we did some demos with MonoDroid on the Android phone, and then I did the short presentation with Cooper showing it on the Android phone. And I noticed the jar files were a lot smaller, and they seemed to run a lot faster. Do you think that's just because MonoDroid's not finished yet, or is that going to be pretty much indicative of the fact that it's going straight to Java and doesn't have the layers in there?
Well, I know they're working on making the whole MonoDroid thing a bit smaller, but it does come with its own runtime every time. And Android itself comes with Java, all the Android phones. So I don't need to deploy a runtime to get an Android application from Cooper working on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot smaller. I mean, I think it's like 2 or 3 kilobytes to get a simple application on the phone.
Yeah. It was like an order of magnitude smaller than the MonoDroid applications. Now, granted, they are still working on the linker. It's a preview, so it probably will be better in the release for sure. But yeah.
Yeah, but you still have the wrappers for all the APIs.
Yeah, and you'd have to do it at runtime as well. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to with Cooper, yeah.
For some people, it might be useful to point out that when you're writing in Cooper, you won't have access to any of the .NET namespaces, the generic classes, or whatever, right? It's just going to all be the Java namespaces that you'll be using. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty much like the way Oxygen differed from Delphi for .NET, is this going to be for Java. It uses all the Java class libraries and doesn't have its own wrappers for .NET.
What's the possibilities of code reuse between a Cooper and a Oxygen or Delphi Prism application as far as being able to share code between the two?
Well, anything that that uses .NET-specific APIs won't work, but the collections and the... Well, pretty much the collections, those are almost the same in Java as they are in .NET.
Okay, so if someone was to add a little bit of a layer in there, they could probably use collections, code that used collections between the two pretty easily?
Yeah, so essentially I think it's like coming, I mean, as Carlos said, it's like coming from Delphi to Delphi Prism or to Oxygen. It's like you don't have any of the classes that you use to like T-strings or something because they didn't exist in .NET, but you had the more or less the same syntax. And of course, I mean, we took a few liberties to sort of make Oxygen more modern than, I don't know, the Delphi was at the time and things like that. So the differences were bigger than they're going to be between Oxygen and Cooper, where pretty much the language is identical except for a couple of really, really minor things like we talked about earlier. But so again, if you're moving from Oxygen to Cooper, it's going to be the same. So you have the same language, but all the classes are going to be different. So if you, I don't know, obviously your WinForms app is not going to compile because there's no WinForms classes, right? And
right.
The same goes for if you're using, I don't know, system.whatever. But your, I don't know, core business logic code, your class with your calculations, all those things, those are going to port over just fine. And yeah, and I think if someone's really motivated to reuse code between the two, it should be doable to create a sort of an abstraction for the classes you need so that either you would create an abstraction layer on top of whatever class you want to use on both from the .NET runtime and the Java runtime, or an abstraction on one side to make it look like the other. So if there's some really important class in system.foo provided by the .NET runtime that you want to use, then you could, I don't know, create a system.foo class in Java in using Cooper that wraps whatever equivalent class Java provides for you that, I don't know, might have slightly different APIs, and you just map them around so they work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, add extension methods or whatever to make it look right, or I don't know, depends on the class, obviously, how much work would be needed to do that sort of thing.
So I guess the fact that we should conceivably be able to compile Cooper in Cooper is a pretty good indication that there would be code reuse between the two. But like you said, you're not going to take an existing .NET application of any complexity at all and just say, hey, recompile in Cooper and have it on Java, right?
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's more that lets you leverage the language that you know and love. You know, now you can write Delphi native applications with Delphi native. You can write .NET applications with Delphi Prism. And then when Cooper comes out, then people will be able to use that same language they know and love to write language applications for the Android phone, for any Java platform, including their microwave.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much in line with our general sort of cross-platform vision. That, I mean, the idea is really you don't just want to take your code and redeploy your entire application on some other platform. You really have to kind of go back and think, how am I going to do this on a different platform? And it's the same with DA. I mean, when we first created DA for Delphi, and then we went to .NET, then we didn't just like get those classes over somehow, but we structured DA.NET to be a good .NET citizen. So you have to do some thought switching between the two, but both of them are going to be perfect for the respective platforms. And then we do the same again once we went to DA for Xcode, and we do the same again if we'd say, I don't go to DA for Java with Cooper. And again, we did the same with Cooper itself. So the idea is really cross-platform shouldn't mean you just write one thing and it's going to run crappily everywhere, but it's just giving you the right tools to write good applications on all the platforms, but they're going to be sort of separate applications everywhere, even if there's a certain degree of code reuse here and there. And Cooper basically lets you mostly reuse the expertise you have in writing Pascal code rather than Java code or C# code or whatever else you would write.
Eases the context switching in your mind when you got to change platforms, so you don't have to start, is it curly brace or is it a begin end? I can't remember. I mean, that's easy to remember, but you have to keep switching. It takes some effort.
Exactly, yeah.
So you mentioned the possibility of having a DA for Java. I was going to say, having that Oxygen kind of made it so that we could target, because DA for .NET is written in Oxygen. So it's conceivable then that we might have a DA for Java written in Cooper?
It's actually something we're working on right now, yeah. So, I mean, it's in the very, very early planning stages, obviously, but yeah. And, I mean, to be precise, I mean, it's not that Cooper is the only way we could have done this. I mean, we could have done the same thing using Java code, because again, we're not just going to take DA for .NET and try to make it compile for Java, because normal Java devs would get the library and say, hey, how the heck am I supposed to use this? Those class names don't make sense. I don't know how to work with those delegates, and those properties are named weirdly. So you really want a proper DA that looks like it was written in Java for Java developers. So we're going to rewrite it from scratch, just as we did with DA for .NET and DA for Xcode. But obviously, because we like Pascal much more than we like either C# or Java, we're going to do it using Cooper.
Okay. All right. So it will be a completely rewrite then. Okay. I wasn't sure if there was going to be some code reuse in there or leveraging code or how that was going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some. It's really too early to tell. But, I mean, in general, it's going to be re-architected from the ground. Basically, we take the knowledge we have from basically building three different platforms already with DA, and then build proper Java classes that are called what people would expect and that have the sort of structure with how events are handled and what properties or methods are called. And just the whole thing has to feel like it's a Java class library and not like a .NET class library.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that should be cool, something to look forward to. I know there's a lot of Java developers out there that would, I'm sure, love to have the advantages of Data Abstract available.
Indeed, yeah. And with Java, I guess you could say that Java is pretty much the only big missing platform we have right now with DA. So with that, you can pretty much get DA on almost anything that matters, I would say, development platform-wise.
Whenever I'm always talking about Data Abstract, I always tell people that if they're trying to target Java, they just expose a Data Abstract OData through OData, and then you can get it on Java. But now they can get the whole kit and caboodle on Java.
Exactly, yeah. And again, I mean, it's going to be different, but the same paradigms are going to be reused. So you have your data, your remote data adapter, your DA data table, and so on, and they're going to work similarly, and you can use DA SQL. And all that stuff's going to be there, and it's going to be there in ways that you expect it to be. It's just sort of going to be Java flavored rather than .NET flavored or Objective-C flavored.
Since it's using the same front-end compiler, how does that affect the IDE choices?
So basically the first step we're doing is obviously, I mean, since we have all this infrastructure integrating Oxygen into the Visual Studio IDE already, Visual Studio and Mono Develop IDE, I mean, that's the first thing we're doing. So basically when Cooper, so 1.0, whatever it's going to be called, it's going to ship, it's going to be inside Visual Studio and possibly Mono Develop. That might be in 1.0, that might be in 2.0, I don't know yet. But basically you're going to have the exact same sort of IDE experience you get a Visual Studio with Oxygen right now. So basically you get the Solution Explorer, you get, instead of your DLL references to assemblies, you're gonna have your jar references in there. But overall it's pretty much gonna feel the same whether you're writing Oxygen code or Cooper code inside Visual Studio. Because it's really just the only difference is what comes in and what comes out. And that's like jar files instead of DLLs. And again, on the output side, it's gonna emit jar files rather than a DLL or an executable. But in between, the entire toolchain is going to be pretty much the same. I mean, with minor difference. I mean, obviously, you're not going to have a WinForms designer again because there's no WinForms, right? Or WPF. You might not be able to import a service reference using WCF, things like that, obviously. But in general, the development experience is going to be pretty similar.
So is there going to be a visual form designer for like Swing then, or how is that going
to
behave?
To be honest, it's something we haven't really looked at yet, whether there's anything we want to integrate into Visual Studio or just sort of defer to developers to use whatever else is out there outside of the IDE. That's something we're still looking at. I think the first goal for us really is to just get the compiling code side of things working and get that out there. So for 1.0, whatever you want to call it, that's probably going to be what we're going to be focusing on.
I haven't used Java in a while, but back, I remember what I did, which wasn't that long ago, I was surprised that there wasn't really a lot of mature visual form designers on Java. Has that changed now, or is it still kind of the case that everybody does it by hand in code?
To be honest, I wouldn't really know, because I mean, I've never really been a big Java user myself. To be honest, I think the main use case for this at this stage is going to be probably either server development or Android development. I mean, I don't think there's a really big market in this day and age for Java, desktop applications kind of thing. I think that's sort of a thing of the past, people trying to use Java to sort of create cross-platform apps. I mean, there's still a few out there here and there, but I don't think that's going to be the main target audience. I mean, obviously, we're going to try and support that in whatever way we can, where it's feasible, but I don't think it's something that, we should put enormous resources into, create here our own Swing designer so we can put it in Visual Studio. And then, all of three people are going to be using that because everyone else is writing either native apps for the platform or using Java for, doing server stuff or Android stuff. And I think for Android itself, though, the whole designer story is still pretty much in flux. So we have to keep an eye on that to see what's going to happen there and if there's anything we can integrate into Visual Studio or if there's going to be standalone designers where you can, you click the dot whatever it's going to be called interface file in the IDE and that's going to launch whatever separate designer, either ships with the Android SDK or comes from third parties. I mean, that's something we're going to have to keep an eye out on. But right now we're just focusing on the code side of things.
What are we looking at for a 1.0 release time frame?
Yeah, so we can't really promise anything, but we're looking at a beta starting pretty soon, I guess like in the next month or so, I would say, and probably to ship somewhere. Well, it's going to be this year. That's the goal. So I mean, probably somewhere in the fall, but I don't really want to get more precise than that.
Okay, so if someone wants to be on the beta, then they should send us an email.
Yeah, just send a mail to info@remojax.com. Just put something like, add me to the Cooper beta in the subject line, and we're going to put you on the list. And then, again, it's probably going to be a couple of more weeks, and then at some stage we're going to send out mails to everyone saying, hey, this is how you get registered for the beta, so you can get going.
So the beta are probably going to be command line compiler at first? And
I suppose it depends on how quickly we want to do a beta versus how much work needs to be done on the IDE. Because, we're pretty experienced with hosting a Pascal language inside Visual Studio, right? We've sort of done that before. So there's a certain level of code and expertise we can reuse there. But it's still going to be a lot of work. I mean, also because Scala mentioned we're sort of redoing the entire compiler. So there's new APIs for the IDE to talk to the compiler, and those need to be implemented both for Oxygen and for Cooper. That we need to wrap our head around and get finished before we can ship IDE integration. So it could be that the first beta has that, but it's very rough. It could be that the first beta is going to be just a command line compiler. I'm not 100% sure at this stage, but either way, it's going to pan out in the next couple of weeks, that we're going to have probably something to share with beta testers.
I know that when we did the video, we had a number of people that were very interested in being on the beta, so.
We've got lots of requests already, yeah, but I mean, there's always room for more. I mean, the more feedback we can get, and the more, I mean, Java is really a vast platform, right? So I mean, the more people we can get that sort of try to put the compiler through its paces, and then, try it. Like, we had a couple of people asking, oh, is this going to work on BlackBerry? So I reply, I don't know, we hope, but the best way to ensure it is going to be is get on the beta, try it with your BlackBerries, and then let us know how it's going to work, right? So yeah. The more people we have on the beta that try it in different scenarios, be it, I don't know, whether you're writing Java enterprise applications or, I don't know, deploying stuff into Oracle servers or, I don't know, who knows where else you can use Java code. The broader the spectrum is we can cover with beta testers, the better the chances we can test all those things in the compiler.
Yeah. So a couple of questions real quick. With the new rewrite of the Oxygen compiler in Oxygen, is that going to bring any major differences right away to the user besides the fact it allows us to do Cooper now? Or
I think a couple of big things. I mean, the first thing is, as Gascalo mentioned, it's going to be much more deeply integrated with the IDE. So, for example, right now, sometimes you get sort of syntax warnings that the IDE does, and you get the little blue squiggly lines, and then when you compile, you get compiler errors, which are little red squiggly lines. And sometimes they're not quite in sync. So say the IDE says, hey, there's a semicolon missing, but the compiler says, hey, the semicolon is missing, in the next line, right? And these are going to be synced up. So basically, the IDE is going to give you the same warnings or errors as you type, as the compiler is going to get. Hopefully to the extent that you wouldn't even have to compile to get most of the errors. You're just going to see them as you type. And also what we're going to do is we're going to try to provide support to fix common errors automatically. So I mean, not completely automatically, but basically for the IDE to say, hey, there's a semicolon missing. And it just happens that I know how to fix that. And that's by putting a semicolon here. So just click this button if you want me to do that for you. Or obviously, I mean, more complicated, well, not complicated, but other things like, I don't know, you misspelled string here. Did you mean string or is it something else? And you could just, yeah, I meant string, just fix it. And what we're also going to do is, I mean, based on this fix-it support, is that the compiler is going to get more robust. So right now, if you clear variable type foo colon string and you mistype string, then all the code below is going to fail because it doesn't know what type foo is, right? But with the new compiler, the compiler could assume, hey, I'm going to emit an error because you mistyped string, but after this, I'm going to assume that this is string and it's going to compile the rest. And on the next line, it knows that string has a method called toLower and it knows it doesn't have a method called, I don't know, toWhatever. And then it can generate proper warnings or not generate proper warnings. So you get much better reporting with the first build or even again without building. Even if you have an error early on, you're going to get a much better report of what's wrong with your code and what's good with your code. Rather than fixing one error, you build again, you get the next error, you build again, and so on.
So one more question for Carlo, I guess. Now that you've been working with the Java bytecode and the .NET IL quite a bit as making these compilers, how do you see similarities between the two, or do you like one better than the other, or what's your opinion of the two?
I like the .NET one a bit better because it's, well, they looked at how the Java guys did it and improved on that. Java has a few quirks in there that, well, could be done better, and they did that in .NET, so I like that. But if you look at it, well, they're pretty much the same functionality-wise.
Okay. Well, hey, this is exciting. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of excited listeners today to this, and I'm planning on posting this one on the Delphi.org podcast as well, because this is probably the most exciting thing I can think of putting up there right now as well. So we'll get a lot of feedback, and hopefully a lot of people on the beta, like you said, drying this on their Android phones, their Nokia phones, their microwaves, their washers and dryers, wherever they want to run their Java apps at, and everything. So thank you both for your time. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Thank you, Carlo. I know you're not big on being on podcasts, so I appreciate especially that you were on here. So, and with that, I will let everybody go and look forward to talking to everybody again in the future on Rim Object Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.